Hallelujah.
God is a good God. God is a live God. God is a merciful God unto a thousand generations. Praise God. You know, we've had, you know, there's been lots of opportunities here lately. If you can't find anything to praise God about, praise for somebody else. He was so worried. I don't know if I'm ready. I just don't know. Well, he can't hear out his right ear. That's okay. Phil can't hear either out of both. no, but don't know why. We're just going to wait, see what God has to say about it and the doctor. But I'm here to tell you, folks, God is a good God. I've seen lots of things happen in here really recently in people's lives, and I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be praying for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, because the devil, and this body in particular, I mean, because we're part of it, I know what is going on. I know what's going on in people's lives, the attacks that are coming. You need to be praying. Well, it doesn't affect me none. Yeah, it does. It so certainly does. Something happens in your life, it affects me. If you're down, my heart's broken for you. And I'm just telling you, God is so good. He is so, so good. I got a couple. She's writing things down.
Oh, that's okay. You just do your announcement you got up
today. Oh, okay. First thing, Bible study this Friday, 3:31 at 7 p.m. here at the church. If you want more information, see Rob or Katie. What is it, Romans 7 or 8? 8 this Friday. Okay. This Saturday, 4-1, men's breakfast will meet at Whistle Stop Cafe in Galleon, and that is not an April Fool's joke. Just so you know, you're not going to show up in Galleon and nobody's going to be there. We will be there, except Phil. Next Sunday, 4-2, is a fellowship carry-in dinner following service. See on the back of your sheet here for some dishes our hospitality will be bringing, and then do accordingly. In the conference center on North Wall, Coffee Maker side, for those of you that don't know, there's a spring mural backdrop that you are welcome with which to take family, child, and individual pictures. We do not have a designated photographer, so feel free to team up with phones and take each other's photos. The mural will be up through Resurrection Sunday and possibly Mother's Day. Enjoy. That's why we bought it. Have fun. Also, it has been requested, and for those of you that know who Jeff Hubschman is, many of you do, and some of you don't, he's pastor of Bryn Zion Church, his wife's a teacher, but he's not doing well, he's cancer, and he's really down right now and could use an encouraging word. His address is back there on the information table. Copy it down. Go home, get you a card. Hey, we're praying for you. Write scripture in there, write something. I don't care what you write. Well, I do care what you write. But do that. Also, yep, that's done. Members, please see Kayla after service to proof your directory page. Those of you, she has your family page ready to go. She just needs to make sure that everything's correct, and then it'll be copied. Now, and that is today, right?
Yes.
Okay. I had a moment of where my brain questioned me. Has anybody heard of the movie Jesus Revolution? Okay. A couple weeks ago when it debuted, it was number 3 in the country. That's saying something. The movie stars Kelsey Grammer, who has found Christ. You don't know who Kelsey Grammer is? He was Frasier from Cheers and the show Frasier and Up Periscope and a few other movies. But he has found Jesus, and he has worked with this movie about, he's actually a preacher. Kind of funny. However, it's coming up town here today, or was it last night was the first one? Started Friday. So, we bought 50 tickets for you. for today's 5 o'clock. Got 50 tickets. You need them, you just take them to the ticket booth and they'll give you the actual ticket to get in. But we thought this was a great way. And I understand if you don't get one right now when you leave today, I'm not promising you they're going to be hanging around at the thing. Because if I have any left over, I'm going to start blessing people who are coming in from other places. So if you want to go today, I highly recommend it. I wanted to see it, and then kind of our world got turned upside down, and we didn't get to go. It's okay, though. We're getting to see it today. So we do have those for you. Like I said, we're going to be a blessing and an outreach to the community, and it's a good thing for this theater because they had to fight to get it in. Lionsgate Films didn't think that the area was big enough to warrant it, and they had to say, hey, we are a conservative community with a lot of churches and a lot of people that are Christians. We think it'll do good. We want to prove them right. Amen? Amen. So go ahead and, like I said, let us know as you're going out if you'd like some tickets. And was that all I needed to announce? Okay. Praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. You are the God of this city. We declare it so in Jesus' name, that people who do not know you will know you. Father, that Mount Gilead will flow once again with the balm of Gilead. The healing powers to heal lives, to heal hearts, will flow once again. And Father, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. Lord, your word stands as testament to this. You have never lied, and you have never failed us. So, Father, receive this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and Super Kids are dismissed. Oh, good. Yep. Okay. And it's a little warm up here. I got to tell you a pawpaw-ism that happened yesterday. So I'm sitting at the table. Carter's there eating. And I said, Carter, you need to eat your applesauce. You can get big, strong muscles like your daddy. He looks over at me and he starts. See, he takes a bite. Says, "Papa, check my muscles." I reach over. Oh yeah, getting there. Every bite the boy took, he, "Papa, check my muscles." He thought every bite would equate to his muscles got bigger. Well, he's sitting there, and I said, "Well, Papa's got to eat his food too," and because I mean, he was, "Check him." I'm like, okay, didn't get back over. Check my muscles. So Pawpaw's got to eat his too. And he says, "Let me check your muscles, Pawpaw." And he comes over, and I mean, I'm trying to flex and all this. Like, yeah. And he goes up, "Pawpaw, your muscles small." I told Angela, I'm really hoping the words small and big were confused, but hey. Yes, I hadn't finished my applesauce. Yeah. Yeah, that was hilarious. So, anyhow, praise God. Well, I had the opportunity this week to go minister in West Virginia. Had a funeral, a family funeral, and they asked me to do part of it. Like, this was a beloved aunt, you know, and I'm actually glad she has been able to pass because she has been in a bad shape for several years and in really bad shape for about 9 months. And anyhow, I was like, but we didn't have the relationship that all the cousins down there had. Didn't know them. You know, they all went to each other's birthday parties. We're in Ohio. We weren't able to do that. And so I had to tell the congregation, I said, you know, I didn't have that relationship. I even told my cousin, I said, Delbert, you know we didn't have that relationship. I said, I never actually had any kind of relationship with her, really, until I became an adult. And I said, however, there's one thing I know for a fact. She loved us. And so I got to share about the love, and then the love of God, and about forgiveness. And I'm like, when there's nothing else you can do, you can talk about forgiveness. Because as I remind people, you know, you're laying in your casket, too late to forgive people. And you probably lived a miserable, tormented life with that unforgiveness. So, worked out really good. I honestly really hope I didn't step on their pastor's toes. And I said, what do you preach about? He said, I'm going to do this. And I was like, okay. And I just felt the Lord say, you're good to go. And so I shared my message. And yeah, God is good, and it went well. When cops come up and shake your hand and say, well done. Because my cousin is a lieutenant in the county sheriff's office down there. And so we got a full police escort for about 10 miles to the cemetery. And I went up and thanked him. I said, you know what's going to be hard? Is going back and remembering I can't run that red light. One of them says, oh, just put your head down and go. Yeah, right. Like your other buddies are going to remember that I was part of the procession. Praise God. But God is good, and it went well. I had to share. Yeah, she's in heaven, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, doing the funeral for a believer is so much grander. I've done them all. Some of you were around. You remember my first one was for a newborn. I ain't going to lie. That was not a fun time. I've had people that I didn't know, people that, as far as I can tell, based on the rest of the family, nobody knew God. As a matter of fact, they weren't even talking. It's a wonder they threw the funeral. That's how bad it was. But I can rejoice knowing that when she finally left her body, Grandpa, Grandma, her husband, and Jesus were there to meet her. So, you know, if you think about that, I got peace. I know where they're going. I know that when my parents close their eyes, I know where they're going. I know when I close my eyes for the last time. That's that. I know whose eyes I'm going to be looking into on the next step. But anyhow, it was good. So I'm going to finish up today the message on honor. And, you know, last week I really went over a bunch of scriptures that were just talking about honor. And I want to give you some examples of some things in the Word of God that describe honor. I've shared with you that I really wasn't raised to honor man. That didn't matter who you were, we thought we were your equal. Are you equal to a cop? No. Not at all. Are you equal to your school teacher? Not at all. Although I did have a revelation this morning. Some of y'all might like this. I was sitting there. I've got a couple school teachers in the family. And I leaned over and told somebody the other day. I said, I think I've gotten smarter the older I've gotten. And then last night, or was it this morning, I said, I have a revelation about this. We're doing it all wrong. We should go to school when we're old. We know more. I might get out of school with a better grade. I can pay attention better. I'm not thinking about recess or the girl across the aisle. Mostly it was the girl across the aisle back then. It's just like, we're doing this all wrong. I've heard old guys write into these veteran pages, and they said, why are we sending all of our young men to war? He said, we got a bunch of old guys back here. We ain't got nothing to live for. Nothing works anymore. Our spouses have died. Send us. We're ready. But anyhow, so I've actually had to learn how to respect and honor people for the positions they're in, to and include the house of the Lord. And there is a reason you do that. It's because when you do that, you honor the Lord. You honor your parents. That is actually a commandment. One of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. Now, I know many of you, your parents are gone now. Well, how do I still honor them? Here's my way to tell you to do that. Or you had a parents that maybe weren't so honorable. You live a godly life. You live a life that your heavenly Father will look down and say, well done. You did good. And when we can do that, then we've honored. Because they may not have known how. So I've learned. I've had to learn how to, when I first got to our church down in North Carolina, I mean, I had recently, and I always tell people, I got baptized and all that stuff in about 78, maybe early 79. I didn't know God. I knew all about the Bible. By the time I got out of high school, I was picked for the trivia games. Hey, we want art. They didn't want me for basketball, but they wanted me for the trivia. And so I had to learn how to start honoring people in the house of the Lord. Now, I gave respect to people that were older than me. But then you get older, it gets a little tougher, doesn't it? You know, you start knowing the teachers by their names. Or you remember the teachers when they were children. But I still honor them. You know, it's Mr. Rule or Coach Rule, Mrs. Rule. And I was sharing last week and got sidetracked about my ag teacher who passed away. He was still Mr. Cooper. Even though I've been out of school for a very long time now, he was still Mr. Cooper. Because he was honestly one of the teachers I really could respect. There was a few that they had some personal issues going on. They were a little harder to. But you still respected them. And I'm finding today, it's not as much in the school system, this respect, this honor. They think they're one with the teacher. Oh, we're buds. Big, huge mistake. Our drill instructors used to, they would bait us. You need to understand, they'd get up there and they'd talk to us. Hey, how you doing, man? You feeling good? And the guy would always lose his mind. Oh, yeah, I'm doing good. Oh, really? Get on the quarter deck. We're going to get that out of you. Because they lost their discipline. They lost their honor, their respect for who it was standing in front of them. You know, even when I got to meet General Gray again. But this time, I'm not in formation. I'm not in uniform. Been out for quite a while at this point. And in Columbus Airport, who is standing there but my commandant, standing there with his little camouflage jacket, you know, all buttoned up or sewn up for him, and it says Gray, and he has four stars on his collar. And I remember that day there were some some airmen coming off the plane in uniform, and they just looked over there and had him. And here's this little guy about yay tall just standing there, and he's got four stars on his collar. They knew what it meant. And I walked right over and talked to him. But I didn't say, hey, Al, how's it going? Ain't seen you since Subic Bay, man. I walked up and said, General Gray, I served under you. I called him General. Because I had learned about honor. I had learned about that respect. He paid the price. He started off in early Vietnam and took us just up to the Gulf War. Well, actually, it was the Gulf War because I had kicked off when he was still commandant. He had earned that respect. He had paid a price I hadn't even come close to. He spent 40 years in the Marines. I'm going to tell you right now, four is hard enough. So my hat's off to any of these guys who can retire. And as I've understood here recently, I don't know if it's when it starts, or I was informed by a friend that they're not doing retirement for 20 years anymore. And that's going to cut down recruiting real quick. Don't think that the one world government isn't trying to figure out how to neutralize the United States. So we've had to learn. We have to learn to respect our teachers. We have to learn to respect the police officers. like I said, my cousin's a lieutenant, and he was talking about all the times people just, I said, you had any First Amendment auditors yet? People with their cell phone, you're on camera. No kidding, ding-a-ling, so are you. Now, show me your license. I don't have to. State of West Virginia? Yes, you do. That varies by states. They don't have to have a reason to see it. He told me about a guy that he saw walking down the street the other day, and he had an AR strapped over his shoulder on the side of the road, walked in. He walked into this little store. He said, I turned the cruiser around, got my weapon out, and I go in, and he says, hey, police. The guy turns around and drops it. He gets his hands up. He said, don't shoot, don't shoot. And they picked it up, and it was an airsoft that they had painted the tip on. The tips are supposed to be orange for a reason. And he said, you need to understand, that looks just like the one I've got in my vehicle. And he said, if you hadn't dropped that, he says, I know, I'd be dead. But if he was one of those other knuckleheads, Second Amendment, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in concealed carry permits. You need to have your head examined sometimes. There's people that don't deserve to carry a firearm. People that don't want it. I bought one for my wife. She doesn't want to use it, carry it. So I got another. Breaks my heart. But the point being, she doesn't want to use it. She doesn't feel as comfortable as I do. And that's fine. As long as I'm nearby, she's good to go. Even if I don't have it, she's good to go. But we've had to learn to respect. So I want to look in first off in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Oh, I got to turn it on. That always helps. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. David has come across, he's actually been cornered by Saul. They were hiding, and Saul needed to take a nap. So Saul went into this little cave. He lays down, he's sleeping. The guards are standing outside, and David's men are like, hey, David, God has delivered your enemy. Because remember, Saul is trying to kill him actively. They are hunting David currently. And David sneaks over there, takes his knife out, and cuts the corner off of his robe. Didn't even wake him. Didn't make any noise. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Wow. I remember one time my pastor in North Carolina, I love that man, I really do. Made some bad decisions later on and prior to that, but I still love him because he was one who taught me the most about the grace of God and mercy and about I had to forgive people. And he walked out. I'd been out of the Marine Corps maybe a year at that point. So, you know, I wasn't 128 pounds anymore because I think I'd run twice since then to just be running away from nothing. And so I had picked up a little bit of weight. I was 140 pounds. And he walked up to me after service one day, and he was just joking around. He's like, oh, hurt. Pinch an inch. Well, a little smart aleck in me. Still hadn't totally got that guy crucified. He keeps sticking his head up. Rick was a bigger guy. I said, yeah, but I can grab a slab. Do you know how bad I have felt that I did that? I didn't have his struggle. He's the one that taught me, for him, cheesecake is sin. Because he loves it, and he won't stop. And I felt so bad because I did that. I disrespected him. A man that was giving his life. Now that I'm in his shoes, now that I'm in his position, I understood what he was going through. He had a lot of people gunning for him. People in the community were telling lies about him. He had been a drug dealer, got saved, and people were still telling lies. And David cuts this corner of his robe. Come on, people. Just cut a little piece off of his jacket. And he felt bad about it because I kept thinking, oh, what's wrong with that? And then the Lord showed me, you had your own experience with this. And did I go too far? Yeah. There we go. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. The Lord's anointed. Remember, he may not have been God's pick, but he was still anointed by Samuel as the Lord's anointed. To stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Then David What happened at this point, Saul goes out from the cave. David steps out from behind him. Saul's maybe 100 yards away, we'll give him. David says, my Lord, my father is what he called him. My father. Saul turns around and looks and says, is that David my son? Now understand, he still called him my son, but he's trying to kill him. That's a good, I mean, we know he's father-in-law, right? You do remember that. It was his father-in-law. And he said, my Lord, I have sinned. But understand, I could have killed you. He held up that corner and Saul looked down and realized David could have killed him and didn't. And at this point, Saul makes a worthless promise because Saul is not a man of his word. I will not pursue you anymore. In the very next chapter, we read where Saul's still trying to kill David. So we fast forward a little bit. Israel is at war with the Philistines. Make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself. That don't happen very often. So on 2 Samuel 1, 13, and it said, then David said to the young man who told him, where are you from? And he said, I am the son of an alien and Amalekite. Remember, they've been fighting, and Saul has now been killed. So David said to him, how was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? This Amalekite, a stranger in the land of Israel, has come to David after Saul has been killed. And he said, I did it. I did it. I killed the man who's trying to kill you. Now, wouldn't you be kind of grateful? The dude has been trying to kill me. You killed him. But this man comes to David and he says, I killed him. He was a stranger, a foreigner in their land. Kind of ticks you off. But for David, this wouldn't even be on just ticking off that it was a stranger that did it. It was the fact that he came back bragging, thinking he was going to get a reward for killing him. How were you not afraid to put your hand forth against the Lord's anointed? So David said to him, how was it? Whoops. There we go. Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And they struck him so that he died. Right on the spot, David had the guy who took credit for killing Saul. Here's the real problem with that, folks, if you don't know the story. He didn't kill Saul. He saw Saul's body, and that was that. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was a glory hound. He was somebody seeking a reward instead of just saying, my Lord, I have seen the body, but I had to flee because of the Philistines. And because of that, David had him killed right on the spot. We think justice is swift in this country. They didn't even need a judge or jury. What the king said, and by the way, that is why we don't have a king. What the king said is what happened. Now, get back in here. Come on. 1 Samuel 31. Now we're going to back up a little bit. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, there was a guy that his whole job in life was just to carry the armor. That was it. You get shot, I replace you with somebody else. You're a donkey. You're a pack mule. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, Braxton, to have somebody else carry your body armor for you into battle. Oh, yeah, you carry this stuff's heavy. Saul has an armor bearer. He's got his spear. He's got his sword. He's got his spare sword. And Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through. He was dying, but he couldn't die. It was going to be a long, drawn-out death. And thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. This man respected the anointing of God. And he wouldn't kill the man, even out of mercy. He wouldn't do it. Whoops. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell on it. Saul committed suicide. That's how he died. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Ladies and gentlemen, that is dedication. The armor bearer didn't have to die, but his dedication was to God's anointed. And if the king died, he died. And so he killed himself. Jonathan had already died. So we've seen where somebody took credit for killing Saul, but didn't do it. David said, how dare you touch the anointed of God? He was your leader. You know what? Again, not necessarily my choice, but he's in power for a reason. Whether I liked it or not. Caesar was in power for a reason. Nero. They were all in power for a reason. King George was in power for a reason. Can I ask you a question? Where would the United States be right now without King George? We'd be Brits. We'd all be sovereign citizens of Great Britain. Because King George was such a man that he was, taxing the people, coming in and just taking your best men. We revolted. Enough is enough. We're going to go start a new country, and we will fight to the death for it. I think I read a thing. I haven't done the actual, Joe might know. It's something like we've only had like 13 years of peace in this country where we've never been involved in a war. 13 years out of 200, and I think we're in the 40s. Maybe in the close to 50, I don't know. No, we're still a ways off, but nonetheless, she's doing the math for me. What was it?
I don't know.
Oh. Maybe it's 248 or 247. I don't know. I think it's 247 now to think about it. I keep track of the Marine Corps' birthday. It's the year before. But anyhow, the United States wouldn't be the United States if it hadn't been for a ruthless king. A ruthless king is why we're here today. And if it wasn't for the United States, ladies and gentlemen, England would be speaking German. They can say what they want. They were getting their butts handed to them. We got involved. Things started swinging the other way. And we created a union, an ally. You go to war, we go to war. We buried the hatchet. Although sometimes you go over there and we get called ungrateful colonists and such names, especially if you're watching Top Gear or some other show like that. But you still have to pray for those leaders. That's why I'm telling you, pray for Washington. Pray for everybody in Washington, whether you agree with their politics or not, whether you agree with their religion or not. Complaining about them isn't going to get you. Pointing out their sin isn't going to get you anywhere.
Well, you know, Trump had to know that he was paying that porn star for sex. Duh. Of course he knew.
Sometimes that's what happens when you get too much money. You think you're above reproach. You can do what you want. You can't. But you still needed to pray for him. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's things I thank God that he did. First off, China backed down for a little bit. Russia backed down. Many veterans across this country got the help they needed because he told the VA to quit playing games. He actually did some really good things. Lying to the country, it's been a part of politics since it began. They've all lied. I voted for Bush, but you know one of the things he did? Y'all heard of that Patriot Act thing? There's certain rights you lost when that thing went into existence. TSA can shove that wand wherever they want, and you don't dare fight. They'll put you on a no-fly list. But I still prayed for him. I still voted for him. Guess what? He was God's man of the hour. Politicians are politicians. That's all there is to that. But they're there because God has said so. We went over that the last 2 weeks. No authority is given on this earth without God's permission. This guy, dedication out the wazoo. I'm like, dude, that is insane. Honestly, I have to stop and think, would I have done that? Nah. Dude, you're dead. Now we're going to look at the spiritual side of things. This was a hard one for me to learn because, yeah, you get a little too close to people. You know their good side, their bad side, and here's the problem. You always judge them on the things you don't like about them instead of the stuff they did good. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. You need to understand, Moses was carrying a dual status here. Aaron may have been the priest. Moses was the actual spiritual authority. He was also the local civil authority. God spoke to Moses. Not Aaron and not Miriam. He spoke to Moses. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Anybody guess what that Ethiopian word is code for? Anybody? She was a black woman. They were a bit on the racist side. And they started talking, well, he shouldn't have married her. He spent 40 years with her. He had children. He had a family. He had a life. And then God said, go back. Go back to Egypt. Get my people. And so he did. But he had a whole life. He spent more time with them than he ever did with them up to this point. And they started talking to him about him because of his wife. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? This is where we get into trouble. You're not the only one that gets revelation. Well, absolutely not. But in this place, I'm the authority. Like it or not. There's days I don't like it. But the truth of the matter is, they got to thinking they were just as good as Moses, and they weren't. They weren't equal with Moses, even though they're siblings. And it's a hard thing to do. I give the family that's here kudos. You haven't crucified me. But the truth of the matter, it's a very hard walk. Because there's some days you're preaching on something, and because you know people, It might actually step on their toes. And you got to go to Sunday dinner afterwards. Or you got to go. You see what I'm saying here? It could get a little bad. There's some days I get the stink eye across the table or across the bed. However, I will tell you this much. Most of the times, it's by Monday, I get my message thrown right back at me. My pastor said this. Yes, he did. Has he not spoken through us also, and the Lord heard it? And the Lord heard it. That's not even part of that. And the Lord heard it. Yes, maybe God did talk to him, but not the same. Now the man Moses, again, understand, this is in the parentheses for a reason. Moses is given credit for writing the first five books of the Bible, but I do believe it was a scribe who was writing it, possibly Joshua. That's actually how a lot of books were written, especially by kings. They dictated what was being written. And with all the stuff that Moses had going on, do you seriously think he had enough time to sit down and read those books? It takes you a while to get through them. And he's trying to do all this. This is in parentheses because it wasn't necessarily there. Moses was more humble than all the men on the earth at that time. Let me tell you right now, a real humble man wouldn't put that there. Because it's not a big deal to him. He wouldn't say, oh yeah, look at how humble. I heard a preacher say, I'm the humblest man I know. I was like, let me get up here. It's starting to get deep. And a lot of people have used this. Look, Moses said he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I believe Joshua thought so. You know why? Because Joshua was on the mountain with God. He was the only one. Aaron wasn't there. It was Joshua. That's why Joshua got picked. That's why Joshua said, let's go in and take our promise. And Joshua was the one who saw how much crap that Moses had to take. And at this point, from his family. He was taking it now from his own brother and sister. The sister who followed his little basket down the Nile River, taking her life into her hands with the crocodiles to make sure that it got to the princess. And then risked her own life going to the princess and saying, I know a wet nurse. It was Aaron that went with Moses to see Pharaoh. He was supposed to be the mouthpiece, but every time I've read the Bible, it says, and Moses said, let my people go. The very two that God, they were so instrumental in Moses' life, then turned around and got jealous. And that's what does it, is jealousy. You know, I've often thought, you know, how could I have been a police officer? I could have. I might have abused the power. I wouldn't have been ready. And honestly, I still to this day can't say that I'm ready. I may just not turn somebody's camera off and slap them a few times. All I want is your driver's license, proof of insurance, and registration. Do you have any weapons in the car? Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So they separated themselves from everybody else and went to the tabernacle of meeting. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. You know, I can imagine what's going through there. Oh, God has heard us, and he's going to promote us. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. Not so with him. Prophets, I mean, everybody trembles when a prophet comes in. Whoa, he's going to read my mail now. The truth of the matter is, so what? If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, you really don't need a prophet to read your mail. The prophet has a different role, but if he has to read your mail, you're not listening. I remember we got a word from a man. He said, you're going to teach us others have not taught. It was a word from the Lord. We didn't really quite grasp that. We thought, oh, well, we just started working with the junior church. All right, God, yay. And you know, she's thinking, well, I'm going to sing, and he's going to maybe say a word, take up an offering, pray, whatever. And then when God said, you take it, we got a whole revelation. We saw the whole vision. We saw the layout. God, you've been preparing. You've been preparing me since I was 16 when you gave me the first word. And then 17 at the second one. And then 19 when I got the third word. I might have been 20. Maybe. It was right in that neighborhood. But nonetheless, God kept telling us he was setting us up. Through a prophet. Through prophetic words. But it didn't take a prophet to tell us to start this church. Why? Because there were some things I had learned. Sir, discipline is the instant willing obedience to orders. And even though I had told God no, he knew my heart that I would commit. I would submit my will to him. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's the authority that's put over you, okay? I call out preachers for messages that I think are misleading. You need to understand, I am equal, and they are not an authority over me. There were several times I was going to submit myself. Today's terminology is to have a mentor. I'm like, well, I've never had a mentor, Lord. What is that? How does that work? And every time I went to do it, y'all remember when you was a kid and you were trying to reach for a cookie on the counter and mom hopefully wasn't looking and... That's what God did to me every time. And I understand why now. Because I've understood now part of my position. The Bible says that Elijah will come before the return. Jesus was saying that the spirit of Elijah. The same spirit. Elijah was calling the people of God back to the house. Back to the Lord. And he was calling out the false prophets. The people that were misleading the people of God. We're being taught, you go do whatever you want. Grace, 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 right? No, no, no. Maybe you need to go to the Bible study because I know right where they're reading. I just read that this morning. Romans 8. Paul was talking about it. I don't go sin more. But when I speak out, I'm trying not to say names so that I'm not tearing down an individual because I pray for these guys. I think a lot of the messages are getting askewed. We're getting away from teaching people about God and we're trying to make them rich. Can I tell you a little something? Obedience is your number one key to your financial security. You sow when you're told to sow. You save when you're told to save. And you do what you're told to do. God tells you, I want you working with the children in your church. Oh, but no, Jesus, you know, I don't like kids. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when I started teaching kindergarten through second graders, I really didn't like kids. Didn't have kids. I did honestly say the best kind of kids are OP kids. Anybody know what that is? Other people's. They go home. I go home to my nice clean house. My floors aren't covered in cookie crumbs, crackers. I go home, I make a mess, I clean it up. Then when my own kids came along, I think most everybody in here knows what happened. Daddy had to put up his stuff. I mean, I can't even go in my own office now, and I look in there and I'm like, that Carter stopped by today this week, didn't he? She's like, how'd you know? I said, all my race cars are either sitting on top of the trailer or they're inside the trailer. And you know what? There's been a time in life I might have got my panties in a wad. They're toys. I don't care. It's what toys are for. Just as long as he doesn't like I used to, we're good. But he doesn't. He just sets them on top of the trailer. And then Grandpa will get them back out and set them up, and he'll come back in and do it again. It's all he does with them. It's a little maturity on my side. But I had to learn at that point. And as I've continued to grow, I realized, oh, hey, there's a lot more to this teaching thing, this whole authority thing. Why then weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. That's one thing you never want to hear. The anger of the Lord was aroused against you. From this point, Miriam looked down, and she had become leprous. She had leprosy. Moses saw it. This is how humble Moses really was. This is why verse 3 says what it says. And he went to God and said, Lord, don't bring her as a zombie. I'm bringing some new terminologies in it. As one who is dead but yet alive, whose flesh is eating itself. Do you guys know what the number one disease? Leprosy is actually a grouping. But you know what the number one disease of it is? I believe it's, is it psoriasis? It eats your skin. That's what it was. That was the number one disease. They have gone back and they've been able to determine the grouping of diseases that was actually what they called leprosy. It wasn't just, ooh, this leprosy. It was things that were eating the flesh. And Moses was begging God for mercy. And God said, Moses, even if her father had spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? This will be adequate for her. 7 days later, the leprosy went away. But God needed to get through to Miriam, and I'm guessing Miriam was the one who's really the one talking. Because we don't read anything about Aaron. And God doesn't care if you're male or female when you're doing this. He smacked her down. I've been around the church for a very, very, very long time. I've seen people talk against the authority in the church. That's why I'm telling you, folks, if you're doing it, listen, you don't know what you're doing. Here, I'm going to converse here with my friend Richard. Because we have two different backgrounds and two different occupations. Can you tell me about how to be a pastor? Would you listen to me if I told you how to spray? Or drive a semi? I don't have a CDL. Absolutely not, and I would hope not. Neither would I. You need to do this as a pastor. How do you do it? If everybody's here, there's about 75 of us. How? That's 75 different personalities. How do you make everybody happy? You don't. You listen to the Holy Spirit. That has been one of the roughest things for me to do. Why aren't we doing this? Because the Holy Spirit didn't say to do it yet. That's why we ain't doing it. When the Holy Spirit says to jump, we jump. I understand some things now. Like I said, I'm like, God, why do you wait until the last minute for me? And he said, what kind of units were you in? While I was on active duty, I said, rapid deployment. That meant within 48 hours, we could be on a ship and heading to a hot zone. Or we could be going in on plane. But we had, even as mechanics, we had trucks that were set aside. We had toolboxes that were set aside. We had everything set aside. We had mechanics set aside. That was their job. That if there was a breakdown, or we needed to send a quick detachment somewhere, we were ready to go. And I was like, God, I get this now. I can understand that. Somebody in the church needs help? Lord, do we jump? Nope. Pump the brakes. That's my new favorite saying. Pump the brakes. Slow it down. And wait. Wait for me. And then I get to watch what God does for his people. How God will miraculously reach into a situation. Why? I pray you don't have to walk the road we just walked. It stinks. But I'm going to tell you right now, I watched what my good God did. I saw the physical proof of where his brain was pushed over at least a quarter of an inch off center. And he was shutting down. And if they hadn't caught it right then, he probably would have never came out of it. But God gave us a good doctor. You know, he wasn't even a real doctor. He was a CNP, a certified nurse practitioner. Kudos. Kudos, dude, you caught that. He's not responding. He's not talking. Let's get a CT scan. Oh, wait a minute. Something happened in between the last CT scan and here. He gave us the worst case scenario. I'm going to tell you right now. We walked through it. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing. You need to be that way. You know, I know everybody in your family is around that with you right now. Because of the crap that's going on overseas. I know you just got, was it Romania? Just got back from Romania. We're that way with Jesse. Oh, but you know, you don't understand. Yes, he is attached to that ship. But all it takes is a set of papers to come in and says you're going to the Persian Gulf. Or you're going to the Black Sea. We have carriers sitting out there. There are carrier groups all over this planet. We have the biggest navy in the world. Definitely the most powerful. We all have to, many of you, you've got loved ones in the same boat. No pun intended. But you have to know who God is. And that's my job, is to teach you who that God is. To introduce you. I can't make you walk it. But I pray that you start developing it. You know, when your kids are little and they're starting to ride your tricycle. And then they graduate to that bicycle and then the training wheel's got to come off. That's a whole nother story. The tricycle, the little bike with the training wheels, oh yay. But you take them training wheels off. You know you got to do it someday. It's got to happen. Daddy, don't let go. I won't. Knowing doggone well you're going to. But you have to tell them, I'm not going to. And you may hold them. You may ride with them, walk with them for a mile. But at some point, you're going to let go of that bike because that's the whole point. I honestly don't remember when my dad taught me how to ride. I can remember the bike. It was a little green Huffy. Solid rubber tires. If he hadn't taken those training wheels off and let go of that seat, I would have been a 19-year-old coming to pick up my date who had just wrecked a bike with training wheels. Instead of the 19-year-old that jumped the ramp down the gravel driveway that the front tire came off of and went down the driveway on my face. Who then told some elaborate story when I got there about me and Dad duking it out. No, I'm just kidding. I did tell her that, though. I had to, yeah, she's like, he did tell me. I said, no, I was too embarrassed to tell her the truth. I wrecked my old bike. Have no idea why I was on it, but it seemed like the thing to do at the time, you know, like 15 minutes before a date. You know, most guys aren't doing that. Not me, Mayor. Christopher and I out there jumping our bikes. Yeah. So, that is why you respect the authority. I won't demand it. I try to command that respect. I try to do what's right. And I'm trying to help you that if you think you're equal, you're not. I'm not equal with him in a semi. As a man, we're equals. He's got his skills. He knows what the heck he's doing in that semi. I'm like, okay. I remember I worked for a guy that he had, was trying to sell a dump truck. Sold it. as a 10, trying to sell it as a 10 speed, right? It was a 5-2. It means five gears with a split transmission or a split differential. Guy calls up, that ain't no 10 speed transmission. Yes, it is. No, it's not. And I've seen no shifters, man. It's like they got three of them. I'm like, no, yeah, that's not the same thing, man. I can drive those trucks. Those are easy. These big semis that are hauling 80,000 pounds, totally different deal. Totally different deal. But when it comes to like this place, I want to encourage you, be careful. You don't even need to talk about other pastors. They're God's anointed. Then God has people in place to say, enough is enough of your garbage. You're preaching caca. Because it's not truth. It's not life. Because honestly, folks, I don't want to. Jesus taught it. Why would you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Why gain everything on the planet? I got me a Bentley. Woohoo, look at me. That's what it's about. Look at me. I found a McLaren the other day. Anybody in here besides me know what a McLaren is? A few people. $6,500. Yeah. I started looking. McLaren. Just so you know, this car is capable of 200 plus. Probably a million and a quarter car. You click more on the page as you realize why it's $6,500 starting on parts. It's been wrecked. And it'll cost you close to $1 million in parts. Buying that car wouldn't be, I'm going to go have fun. Where am I going to have fun with a car like that in Ohio? 71 is the only place. And by the way, legal speed limit is 70. I don't care if your car does 200. Still only 70. So you know what? I'll stick with my pick-em-up truck that can take Morrow County roads. Which, by the way, I want to tell y'all, if you don't appreciate our roads, go to West Virginia. I'm on 77 and there's potholes bigger than ones on my road. I'm like, sorry, Dad. Sorry, Dad. He's trying to sleep. Truck bounces. You know you've hit a hole when your pickup truck bounces over. Oh, and then, our roads are too narrow. Oh, no. Go to West Virginia again. The road up to that cemetery was a two-way road. My truck took up most of the lane. I was like, well, thank you, Lord. Nobody's coming our way. Of course, the police escort that went through took care of anybody coming our way. But start thanking God for those things. Your Sunday school teachers, thank God for them. Bless them because they need it. If you've never worked in children's ministry, you need to. Even if you just volunteer for a day to help. And don't volunteer on the good days. You need to go when the kids are wired, when they're in a bad mood, and when they got diarrhea. That will be baptism by fire. All right, let's stand. I believe God is wanting to do things in His churches. But if we aren't living by faith, we aren't moving by faith, we're just going through motions. Jesus, I want a revival. I don't want to revive anything. I want a whole new fire. But I don't want one that's going to have me rolling around on floors, running across the chairs, and then when the special services stop, it's gone. You need to be able to operate outside of that. I think I've talked about it before. You can't operate high on the mountain. You can't live high on the mountain. You just can't do it. There's no life up there. Yeah, the view's great, right? Try to farm. You know, in the big mountains, there's what this thing called a tree line. That's where no life exists beyond that. It's rocks, snow, maybe a few scrub bushes that can handle it. But the tree line is where they stop growing because the oxygen, soil, a lot of different factors. We have to be able to live in the valley. Those hills and mountains are a great place to remember this. You see all those flat plains on the ground. You're down below by the rivers and such. And that they're filled with flowers. They're filled with trees, with animals. There's life there. You have to hold on to the same God that took you up to the mountain and said, see, this is where you're going. But you got to get there from here. Yeah, that's a whole other message. I just wanted to encourage some people that are thinking they're wearing out. You got to hold on. When you're tired, sit down. And I encourage you to read your Bibles. Get in your Bible. Study it. Know what it says. It seems like it was somebody. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do truly thank you for your many blessings in our lives, for how you work in our lives. Father, we thank you right now that you're moving in our lives. Father, you're helping us to and include myself. If I speak against somebody that I should just shut up about, slap me. I don't want to speak against somebody. But if they need the correction, if I need to correct something, then that's a different story, if that's what you're telling me. But by no means, Father, do I purport to know how to run a government, how to drive a semi. I don't know these things. These things that I have learned here, I know how to do. I know how to trust you, Father, because you have taken me on that journey. And Father, I pray for these that will be taking their journeys on their own. Lord, I pray that in these hours that they remember you. Father, they cry out to you, and they aren't too proudful to cry out and ask for help from their brothers and sisters. That's what a body is for. When there's sickness in us, Lord God, our white blood cells will rise up to fight. Lord, we are each other's white blood cells. We will fight for those that are wounded, those that are tired. And now, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, your healing power is moving. Father, to restore our minds, restore our bodies. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in your people. I bless them today, Lord. Father, I know the many things that they have in their lives. Father, many are maybe haven't shared some things they're going through. But Lord, I know you're there with them and you know what they've got to fight. You know what they're facing. So move with them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.